Thank you for tuning in to the Cyber Shaman Show. This is Ricardo Saldia coming from Vancouver, Washington. And I'm very happy to be here with you all, Shabbat Shalom, on this wonderful Saturday Sabbath afternoon. We are always happy to be with you guys here on this day of the week, especially. It's a very relaxing and hopefully nourishing day of the week for you as well. I would like to recap a little bit. And Cyber Shaman Show is here for your well-being. And the purpose for this show is to be a sounding board for issues related to the body, mind, and spirit. And we live in an era where a lot of information is being brought out to our attention about this connection and this relationship between the body, mind, and spirit. So here we would like to tackle any and all kinds of topics relating to that. If you have questions, if you just want to get another opinion, this is a great show for that. We will also be talking about traditional and modern methods that support all of life here at the show. And so from time to time, we may have people who come on for the use of telling us about their products or their services or just their wisdom and just their opinion. And hopefully this can be something that can stimulate thought for you, knowing that, you know, words don't necessarily teach, but words can stimulate thought, and thought is what actually, you know, gets you actually moving and moving forward, actually. So I would encourage any of you to give me a call here at the Cyber Shaman Show, and the number is 877-270-8714. That's a toll-free number here for the United States, 877-270-8714. One of the tools that we will be talking about quite often is the use of the EPFX SCIO technology, which is a piece of technology that comes from the field of biofeedback. And as you may already know, biofeedback's been around for a long, long time, over 80 years. And this specific software program comes from the field of bioresonance biofeedback. So this is a medical software program, and it's, to my understanding and to my up to my opinion, it is the forerunner and the one that's leading the way for the future of energy medicine. You can find out more information on this on my website at integrativebody.com. That's EGRATIVEBODY, integrativebody.com. You can find out lots more things about their abilities to work with the electric body. For the purpose of this show, I will be talking about this technology. And today, since we have a special guest, we're going to condense this short reading, as you can call it. I have loaded up the software program, and it's doing its main scan, and we will find out some good information about the show and those connected to the show. On my computer, we have a place to put the client's name, and I have put the Cyber Shaman Show. So anybody who's tapping in, who's listening in, is essentially being connected to just the consciousness of the show. So the scan's just about done, and let's find out what kind of information do we have. Okay, so there are essentially 8 different factors that we'll take a look at. The first one is, and mind you, we're going to use electrical definitions because this computer system reads the electric body. So the first thing we're going to be looking at, the first category, is volts. And that's telling us about the overall energy of this consciousness of the Cyber Shaman Show and those that listen to it. It is a score of 87, and 80 to 100 is considered normal, so that's good. The next one is amperage, and that's the brain power, the willpower. And actually, we have a score of 100, so 80 to 100 is considered normal. And then we have the immune system, which tells us how the circuits are working in our body or in this consciousness of multiple people thinking about the Cyber Shaman Show or the entity of the Cyber Shaman Show. It is a score of 75, so the immune system is just a tad bit low, but not by much. The next one is hydration, and that is a score of 97. Great. And the other one, the next one, is oxidation, and that's a score of 72. So that's a little bit low. That's the oxygen level that we have. And the next two are going to be telling us about the pH balance. It's a two-category scale that we have to look at for this balance or imbalance. And we have a score of 64-74, which is a bit on the acidic side. So we would benefit from drinking even more water and even breathing even more to wash away and to clean away some of the toxins in our body. The last thing we're going to take a look at is cellular vitality. Now, that's the opposite of the volts, so the opposite of the overall chi energy that we have. At the smallest, at the cellular level, we have a score of 10, and 6 and above is considered normal. So, actually, all in all, we have some pretty good scores. We're a little bit on the acidic side, and our oxidation, our cardio is a bit low, as well as our immune system. But all of this could be easily improved by just breathing more. And I would like to refer any of you to breathing.com. Breathing.com is a wonderful website that can tell you a lot about how to breathe and what tips you can have on breathing. I would also like to tell you about a couple other websites. And once again, these websites that I mention on my show, I don't get any kickbacks from them. I don't get any special favors. This is just something out of my own research that I like to share with all of you. And the first one I already gave you, breathing.com. The second one is regarding the Mayan calendar. And there's some awesome things that are going on right now in the calendar. And I would encourage any of you to look up this website for some good sound research. And the website is Kalman.com. That's C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N. Kalman, C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N.com. Wonderful piece of research and really, truly inspired by positive forces. The next one, and the last one that I have for you today, is called innertalk.com. That's innertalk.com. And this website deals with subliminal and hypnotic audio. So they have different audios where you can get to work on certain issues that you may have, specific ones for grief, joy, or lack of, for success, for the ability to work with depression and other emotions. This may be a good avenue for some of you.
Hey, Ricardo.
Hey, Wayne. All right, so now we have our special guest here. I didn't hear you tap in, but that's quite all right. We're just actually perfect timing. So how are you doing today, Wayne?
Not too bad, over yourself.
Pretty good. And I'm really happy to have you on the show today. And I'd like to tell the listeners a little bit about Wayne, and I'm sure he can tell you a bit more, but one of the things that sticks out to me about Wayne our special guest today is that he incorporates body work, specifically or predominantly Lomi Lomi, which is a Hawaiian traditional technique. And he also teaches martial arts, various different kinds, and he teaches at the junior college level as well as on a public level. And Wayne, is there anything you would like to add to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm an all-around great guy, I guess. no, actually, I've been doing, like you mentioned, bodywork for quite a few years. Martial arts was probably where it stemmed from, even longer than that, over the last about 25 years. Doing external as well as internal martial training. In the last few years, it's been much more extensively the internal, the Qigongs, the Tai Chis, along that line, and then incorporating those principles along with the healing arts of the advanced healing arts of like Lomi Lomi and those principles in body work.
Good. Yeah, very good stuff. You do a good job at it too.
Well, thanks.
I spoke to you a little bit about why I wanted to bring you on the show, and so let's just get into it.
Alrighty.
I wanted you to talk to the listeners as well as just refresh my memory because I think it's a very good topic and it can go many different places, but it really helped me personally to hear the way you explain the Tao and how these different qualities or aspects of the Tao can help us understand some of the aspects of God. So, if you may begin, can you tell us, kind of starting backwards, some people may think, but I would like to know just the bottom line. How can our current understanding of God be deepened by knowing more of what the Tao is?
Well, I think if we can back up and define some things a little bit more than that,
sure.
Tao is more of the Eastern view of the beginning or the source of all of life and the essence of life, so to speak, at its core, the perfect idea of harmony, of opposites working together in balance. In a Western view, we discuss things as creator or God or some sort of being or entity. The Tao is just describing from the Eastern viewpoint, it's describing the aspects and the nature of a personality that is behind creation. If you read in the Tao Te Ching, it talks about, it describes the Tao and aspects and parts of its nature. And at one point, the writer Lao Tzu, which is really more of a title than an individual's name, makes the statement that I do not know its name, so I call it Tao, which just means way. Way not in a static sense, but way as in life itself, the way it works, the way it's designed to work at its utmost.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, all life has originated from as we experience it. And that is the same idea in our Western view of the idea of God and a creator, and from that. But now, in the Eastern view, the aspects of Tao that it breaks up is two primary aspects, that's yin and yang. The harmony of opposites is the totality, which means the yin yang, which most people, I suppose, have seen at some point. In Hawaii, you see it as a surfing symbol, and all kinds of places, you know, use it as tattoos and things like that. As we go along here, my understanding is people can call in if they have any questions. Is that correct?
Yes.
So,
yes. And once again, let me give out that number since you gave that opening. That's 877-270-8714. That's toll-free for all United States, 877-270-8714. Thank you, Wayne. Go ahead.
Right, and if anyone has any particular questions and wants to take it a different direction, that's perfectly fine with me. So
yes,
as we go along, the idea of Tao, the harmony of opposites, is often misinterpreted in Western culture as the idea of good and evil, and that would be completely off base from what the idea of the yin yang symbol indicates. Yin and yang is neither good and evil, but the two aspects that we find in life, in nature, the idea of hot and cold, male, mm-hmm. female, making a complete, it takes a male aspect and a female aspect to recreate life. It's not saying one is greater than the other, they're saying that one is interdependent on the other to be complete, but in and of the total is never complete without those two aspects being mm-hmm. present. So in the idea of God, you have, in the Tao Te Ching even says, describing it, it says the one gives birth to the two give birth to the three, and then from those three come all living things, or everything comes from the Tao. Well, the idea of the one, the fact that there is the one, for it to exist, there has to be those two aspects, an external expression and internal, you know, dwelling, so to speak,
right.
existence. So to have that, to have hot, you have to know what cold is. To have cold, you have to know what hot is. To have the two, to have a particular temperature, to be able to say this is this temperature, you have to have both. To have God, you have Christ, who is the, in our view, or the Western view, more or less, yang is the aspect of Christ, which is the action portion of the Trinity of the three. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling aspect of the Trinity, both of which are God, the aspects of God, breaking it down to the internal and external, if we can keep it that simple.
Right.
But the totality of the two is God, the Father, God, the whole. So the mm-hmm. one, for God to exist, there has to be the two aspects, the internal and the external, Christ and the Holy Spirit. The two give birth to the three, the idea of seeing Christ, the Holy Spirit, and then the totality of it working together, seeing that expression, which is God incomplete. So, and from those three perspectives comes all of life, because that is the essence of life experientially in acting, not just in theory.
So the Tao wasn't created to be religion.
Well, Tao was more of the expression originally, if you look at the writings, if people are describing what the perception of Tao. Just as in Scripture we see God says that in Romans that all of creation speaks of his invisible qualities and personality and traits, that the knowledge of him, he allowed us to have knowledge of him. So in the Tao, what you're seeing, especially in the Tao Te Ching, when you read this one, these chapters and whatnot, it's describing the writer's observation of the fact that these things exist. He at one point says, you know, I am loath to say that it is greater than I, but it is greater than I am. And it's the observation that nature indicates of something even greater than nature. So was Tao set out to be a religion, so to speak? Not initially. That wasn't the view, because you have Taoist philosophy, which Taoism is based on, but Taoism as a practice religion comes in much later down the road, but it's based on Taoist philosophy. So these were just people observing the evidence.
Just calling it how they saw it.
Well, the evidence, you know, regardless of what they wanted to be, just trying to face the truth that these things were there and what they pointed to. Hopefully it's not too abstract, and we have only a limited amount of time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And people know that, you know, the show is only X amount, so we just like getting right down to it, and people can always feel free to contact us. You know, one of the things that may not seem like a big deal for some, but, you know, it just kind of adds to the flavor and adds to the understanding of what's going on is, for one, Lao Tzu II, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Correctly.
Lao Tzu just means the old master.
Right, I guess that's...
Lao Tzu is more of a... If you are a Lao Tzu, you are a teacher of teachers. You're a teacher's teacher. It's more of a title than it is the individual's name.
Individual's name. Which I was trying to get to the point was that it, you know, if somebody really wanted to create a, you know, just another religion, they would have taken more credit for it. Which to me speaks more of the sincerity and the honesty and the purity of the Tao, or the understanding of the Tao, to help us understand, you know, in a broader sense or even in a more specific sense, what God can be for us, or how can we describe him and, you know, get to have a deeper understanding and relationship with him.
Well, I think that's a good distinction, because a lot of times there's the confusion that if you're discussing Tao, you're discussing Taoism, or if you believe in the Eastern view of what Tao is, that you must be a Taoist. And what mankind tends to do with knowledge is a whole lot different than what that knowledge is in its own nature, or the original observation.
And there's definitely lots of examples of that in history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at just Taoism itself. Not that they're ill-intending in any way, and I don't mean to knock them as individuals. I'm just saying that Tao, the original viewers of Tao in nature, and this is what they describe it in Eastern view, their observations written down, okay, this is what I see, but what people who follow read their writings, who may be very well just inspired by the truth of it, who their own observations, who may be inspired of it due to its poetry, or may be inspired due to how, if you follow those principles that Tao is based on, or that are based off of Tao, that things work out better. That if you do these things, they work great. So mankind tends to sometimes, we're always looking for a formula of how to act or how to be. And if we do these things in the right order, everything works out really neat. And we miss the point that the original people who wrote it were maybe looking for just truth and not a formula. And so from that, we get different religious practices or sects or orders. I mean, look at, you know, in Christianity, you have so many different denominations. But off of there, you have Mormonism that uses, you know, scripture on some level. You have, which, you know, they also have their own writing, you know, own second book that they talk about. But then you have Jehovah's Witnesses who are using off the same basic text. But then again, you also see all these different cults that have come along and use scripture as its source. But are they looking at who the source of that scripture is, or the author, and wanting to know that truth, or are they using it for their own ends and using it because it's based on truth and therefore has a certain power to it, to sway people who are, again, looking for a formula or someone to follow or something to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And there it can be unhealthy, and there you see the misbalance or the imbalance of the application of Tao instead of the truth of what Tao is.
Yeah, and I hope that this small conversation has at least instigated some different questions that might be going on through people's minds of how they can, you know, just have more of a oneness of, you know, of bringing together different aspects of what we have learned in our walk and have it all come together so that we can have a better understanding of God, so you don't have to rely on just one culture's view or just one sect or denomination.
Well, in the example that we're using of Tao, or the fact that the writer of the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu or whatnot, based on his observations, he observed that the Tao was basically what we call God. He had no name for it, so he called it Tao, the way. This is how it works. This is what's out there. But he was describing a personality. He was describing a relational energy or entity that was out there, but he had no other way of quantifying it other than to say, the way, the complete, you know, which was a huge statement, actually, in a very small amount of words. The more words we use, oftentimes the more we confuse the massiveness of what we're trying to quantify. But his very pursuit, or the pursuit of people who have done likewise, the pursuit was to know truth for what it is, to be submissive to truth, not subservient, but submissive to the reality of
what is
our position in relationship to that, which is not a lesser position in the sense of value, but merely a position of realizing it is the creation and source of creation and is infinitely greater and broader than our own individual existence as far as what we're powerful enough to do as an individual. But that is what we are the expression of and connected to, is that greatness, where it's just observing that instead of trying to recreate that greatness.
Right. Yeah, why reinvent if it's already worked?
So if all you desire to do is to truly understand truth at its core and to seek God or, you know, whatever term you use for it, but God at God's core, if God is true and real, he will reveal himself and he will take you down the paths that you need to understand what his application in your life. But he will introduce himself to you because he's already there. It's relational.
Right.
It's not about you intellectualizing him. And that's kind of what we're doing, but that's really not the goal.
No, and actually we're better off just getting on the path or getting on the way, which I find it interesting that, you know, the Tao is, you know, translated to the way, and, you know, before Christianity was given that distinction, it was called the way as well.
Yeah, the followers of the way. Because Christ himself stated, he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in that very statement, he denotes his divinity, not as a human person, but as God expressing himself in form of man.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't saying he was separate and a priest of which to get to God. He's saying, I am God. But it's through this action portion of God's nature reaching down to man, not us reaching to him, but him reaching down to us through the aspect of Christ, that we can get to him, not by our power, but by his power and our willingness to accept it, because we're not forced into it. That's where free will's still there.
That's right. And that's actually going to have to be a good place for us to end today.
All right.
On the free will, and we'll have to get that some other time because that's another good topic. But I would like to thank you very much, Wayne Keller, for coming on to the Cyber Shaman Show on this wonderful Saturday afternoon. And we're going to be signing off, wishing all of you a happy weekend. Be safe. But have some fun, shake that body of yours, and shake that soul, do some praying, and you will be able to start off on a good note for the new week. So thanks again, Wayne.
Thank you, Ricardo. It's been fun.
And
do it again.
Yes, definitely. My pleasure. And you have yourself a very good weekend as well.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you very much, y'all. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Cyber Shaman saying goodbye.